is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing at the National Post about another columnist matching the Conrad Black's observations about Gaza war. This one, Thomas Friedman of the New York Times, who presents a case for what everybody, he says, wants to happen. There's a long list. Some of it's quite commonsensical. But near the end is Bibi Netanyahu must go. Odd. And Conrad, I welcome you because you know Bibi Netanyahu. I've met him over the years. He's a stout patriot. He's a great manager. And he's the elected prime minister of Israel. I do not think Mr. Friedman was entertaining the idea of a coup. He just rejected the will of the people of Israel. Good evening to you, Conrad.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Not only a coup, but at this point, it is a national unity government in which all parties are represented. And as of now, Bibi Netanyahu has the support of every political party in Israel. So it is not just the will of the electorate, it is the will of the entire electorate, and at least their representatives. So what he is talking about is not clear, but I think there is a view that, when this war ends, there may be a strong suggestion that Netanyahu should go because of the fact that there was clearly an intelligence lapse at the beginning. But I'm not an authority on that kind of thing, but I don't even think that is necessarily the case. I mean, I don't think anyone expects a prime minister to be out on the border himself going around checking to make sure that that all defensive precautions have been taken. I mean, President Roosevelt and General Marshall sent out warnings all around the Pacific for 3 weeks before the attack on Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt was flabbergasted on the day to learn that there weren't torpedo nets around the battleships and there weren't air patrols out 250 miles all around Oahu in all daylight hours, because that's what he'd ordered. But everyone acknowledged it was a bad start, but you drive on. If this war ends satisfactorily for Israel, I wouldn't be so sure that Netanyahu is going to leave anytime soon. Nothing builds popularity like victory in a war. And as of now, I think he's conducted it very well. It was a bad start, but it seems to me he's gathered in all the other parties, gone to lengths to make sure there's very strong support for everything that they're doing. And as of now, I think he's a good war leader. But I find it hard. I know Tom Friedman. He's a perfectly nice man personally, but I've never been able to understand how he comes to the conclusions he does, because they're almost always mistaken. You know, he bought completely into the Trump-Russia collusion thing. He thought that Trump was just an outright traitor, taking his orders from a foreign enemy or adversary. And, as I understand it, he's saying Netanyahu must go because he has not handled this war properly. I don't know how the publisher and the editor of the New York Times retain the services of somebody who was always mistaken.
You mentioned Roosevelt. I recall the headlines and the concern at the White House 1942, right before the midterm elections, because Operation Torch was underway. They didn't know how it would come out, North Africa. And there were some moments there where things ran down. There was a lot of violence. There were a lot of shooting. That was a battle against the Free French, as well as the Germans and the Italians in the North Africa campaign. And Dr. Wynne, the war, was under the gun, because he had not brought a success, as I recall. So if the great Roosevelt can be doubted, any prime minister, any president should be doubted during a war.
That's right. Now, the doubts didn't last long, of course, and the operation was a success. But you're right. And he wanted the landings to take place before the midterm elections. And General Marshall said, we have to have a complete rehearsal first. We can't just have these young men, draftees, leave the shores of America and land directly on the beaches of Morocco and Algeria, and without even so much as a test run. So Roosevelt said, all right, well, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. I like to win elections, but I will not risk the life of one soldier to win an election. So, he did the principal thing.
We come to Thomas Friedman's recommendations, two-state solution. He points to a decision made by Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu in 2020 for a resolution of the conflict involving some aspects of a two-state solution that was rejected by the Palestinian Authority. And
yes.
There's no reason to believe it would be accepted today, because I'm told that Hamas now dominates the popular opinion, not only in Gaza, but in the West Bank. There's no constituency for a two-state solution. Hamas is a murder brigade.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. On the other hand, if the Israelis succeed in destroying the Hamas leadership and completely exterminating the terrorist apparatus of Hamas, not the straight civil political apparatus, but the terrorists, the so-called military part of it, that fact, followed by, one assumes, the conclusion and signing of the agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia, it's conceivable to me, and I'm not representing myself to you and your listeners as an authority on Palestinian opinion, but it's conceivable to me that those factors might motivate a fair number of the Palestinians to think, look, this is going to be the best we can get. Maybe we're better off taking a state like the one that Trump and Netanyahu proposed, which was, the West Bank narrower, because you can't ask Israel to go back to being 9 miles wide, but the Gaza Strip thicker and a road between them, and that's their state. It's not a big state, but they're not a big people either.
Conrad, when did Bibi Netanyahu become part of the problem and not part of the solution? Did that happen just now, or has that been building for several years? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, you mean in the perceptions of his opponents?
Yes, especially.
Yeah, well, I think they always thought that he was too belligerent, and if he had been more tractable, then we would have had peace earlier. But I think it is now obvious that those candidates against him, Shimon Peres in particular, Ehud Barak also, they tried hard and sincerely to get peace, but we now know that land for peace was a fraud. It was land given back to the Arabs that the Arabs had lost in wars that the Arabs began and then lost the wars. And it wasn't given back to them in exchange for peace. It was given back to them for ceasefires that normally were broken after about 48 hours. They lost the war, so they said, well, we lost it, give us back the land anyway. And Israel went along with this to a degree under international pressure. And Netanyahu signaled, as did Sharon, to be fair, that they weren't going to do it anymore. And so at that point, I think he, in the minds of the peace now, peace at any price people, who just think it's a matter of sitting down with reasonable Palestinians and the rest of it's a figment of the imagination of more aggressive people. For those reasons, I think they lost faith in Bibi and thought he had to go because he wasn't one of them. He wasn't prepared to make peace at any price, especially when it wouldn't be peace anyway.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post about Thomas Friedman, the columnist for the New York Times, and Bibi Netanyahu, the elected prime minister of the state of Israel. I'm John Black.